here on 610 Sports Radio After Hours. Dusty Likens with you. Blake with you as well. We're here till 9 o'clock tonight. Gorgeous evening here in the city of Kansas City. Gorgeous.
It is beautiful outside.
It is. Starting to bloom. All that sort of stuff. We are now joined by 610 Sports only Royals insider. The only insider you need to listen to, Josh Verner. We just left before the commercial break with the Masters. The menu is out. What's an appetizer you would put on the table that you think might impress everybody?
Well, I'm not fancy, so I wouldn't be putting anything out there to impress anyone. But my appetizer of choice, if we're at like a nicer place, if they have like Brussels sprouts, you know, like blackened Brussels sprouts, you know, with a balsamic or a soy sauce of some sorts. Hook me up with that.
Hey, if you get an off day, which you have on the Friday after the Royals opening day game on the 29th or 28th, you should take the lady to Third Street Social. They have the exact same appetizer you seek. It is the one that I brought up before I went to break. It is a Brussels sprouts cauliflower app. They put a balsamic glaze on it, serve it with like a dill sauce.
Yeah, if they hook it up for free, I'm there.
I mean, I can,
because you're giving them enough pub right now.
Yeah. Well, I know the GM, so maybe we can get together and I can get you a free app. That's where my status is. I can get apps. I can't get steaks or, you know, stuff like you get, Vern. But let's...
something.
Okay.
It's food.
Yeah. No, don't.
Good. Hey, yeah. Come on.
Good food. Healthy food. Come on. All right. So let's dive into it. You got a big one coming up on Thursday night. You got a three-hour show. Get everybody ready for the season. But not only that, I mean, you have a team this year that's got a number one on both sides. They got an ace on the mound, I believe, and he's going to be the opening day starter. And they got an ace in that middle of the lineup with Bobby Witt Jr. Been a long time since you've had a 1-1 punch on both sides of the white line for this Kansas City Royals team.
Yeah, when was the last time? I think you have to go back to Sabre, Hagen, and George the last time you had an ace and a MVP candidate in the lineup. Look, it's certainly a nice place, especially for someone like you that grew up in this town, desperate for a true superstar, not the, well, he's our superstar, we love Whit Merrifield, back off. Now I'm talking like a true guy that's going to finish top 10 for the MVP again this year, and again the year after that, and hopefully for the duration of this contract that he recently signed. But honestly, the ace that you talk about, Cole Reagans, for as dominating as he was down the stretch, he's in a very different situation in 2024 where it's not cute anymore. It's expected. And what's expected is domination, because you're on Thursday going to face Pablo Lopez, a guy that shoved it up your tailpipes countless times last year, including opening day when he shut out the Royals. 2-0 final. But then throughout the season, Cole Reagans, we're going to ask you to stare down Shane Bieber, Garrett Cole, the best that the Framber Valdez, the best that the league has to offer, the number ones from the American League East powerhouses like Baltimore and Tampa and New York to the West in Texas and Houston. All those teams are going to face in the first 2 months of the season as well. So it's a different spot that Reagans finds himself in that it's not good enough this year to give me 5-6 innings and a chance to win. I need you to do him one better, whoever he is, Pablo Lopez, if it's Nate Eovaldi, Justin Verlander, if they throw 7 shutout, I need you to throw 8 shutout. He hasn't had to face that type of pressure. I'm not concerned about his mentality or not concerned about his stuff, but as we've learned as baseball fans, until you do it over the course of 162, you remain a question mark.
When it comes to the guys that have, you know, taken the slab on opening day in the past, it seems like there was, you know, kind of a similar story with Singer, or maybe there was something similar before where it was like, okay, well, this guy showed some promise in the late part of the second half of the season. And like you said, show it and prove it. For some reason, when I watch Cole Reagans pitch, and I've been a nerd and I've watched, you know, some, you know, quick pitches on Twitter. I don't get a whole lot of, you know, TV coverage when it comes to spring training, but you've got radio coverage. It just kind of seems like he kind of gives me that, oh man, almost like just a silent assassin vibe. Like, it's almost like great that nobody is talking about him. And it seems like he's that type of story that we're going to get sometime in the middle of, if this team is successful, right? If they are successful, it's going to be because of something he's doing right. And if he's doing something right as a lefty that throws 99 and can mow him down, and I think he can, then I think we're going to finally start to hear this story. And wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to finally sit back and go through all those years? And I think he's a guy that just looks different when it comes to being out there, go out there and give your stuff. Like, he's, you know, doesn't have to go down a league to develop a curveball. Doesn't have to go develop a changeup, or is he worried about a pitch? He just kind of seems and screams confidence, Vern.
Yeah, and the difference between him and Singer, because they both have the mentality of an ace, Singer even more so, in my opinion, than Cole Reagans. They're both very good at remaining even keel. The issue and the difference is repertoire. You look at Reagans has five pitches, mm-hmm. and for the most part of his career, Brady Singer's been a two-pitch pitcher. So when Brady's two-seam or sinker, or excuse me, when his two-seam or slider, when he doesn't have command of one, well, then the opposition just sits back and tees off on the other. Now, when he has both of them going, the guy spins gems, like we saw in his debut season when he nearly no-hit the Cleveland ball club. Reagans, if he doesn't have command of his cutter or his fastball, well, then he can go to the curveball, to the slider, to the changeup, and mix speeds, change elevations. He's just a... Again, he's a first-round pick, too. This is a guy drafted in the first round 8 years ago out of high school by the Texas Rangers, a guy that was expected to be a stud throughout his high school time, right? He was a recruit of Florida State, was going to be the number one on that Seminoles team if he would have ultimately gone to Tallahassee, but gets a nice deal out of Texas, so... really, the most impressive part of Cole Reagans is overcoming back-to-back Tommy John surgeries, missing 3 years, and putting in the type of work that it takes to get back to that level. Because, you know, one Tommy John, the doctors say you have a 75% chance of getting back to the level that you were previously. So a 75% chance of getting back to being a double-A pitcher. And then you have another Tommy John that cuts it even more. That cuts the likelihood of you returning to that form even more so. So it's really a coin flip. When he blows out the second time, it's a coin flip that he returns to this level. And by this level, I mean just being a quasi big leaguer to return to this level and ascend to become an opening day starter. Speaks highly of the heart, the mind, the work ethic, and the love of the game, the love of the work that Cole Reagans has. And look, the Royals are going to reap the benefits over the next few seasons so long as he can stay healthy.
We're talking to Josh Verner, Royals insider here at 610 Sports Radio. Whether you believe it or not, March 28th is going to be here in less than 2 weeks, opening day. And if you're looking for a sweet deal, grab your family and friends and watch a game from a suite at Kauffman Stadium during April. Suites are as low as $99. Visit Royals.com/tickets. Vern, how much does, and this is my last Reagans question, I promise, but how much does his development and maybe his awakening to this staff and maybe the comfortability of knowing, okay, that's our one, right? It's in-house competition. I've always loved that. I thought it's always worked. There's some of that getting ready to go on in Pittsburgh with quarterback play, but we're here in Kansas City. How much does Reagans becoming that guy, taking that step, kind of ease some tension on maybe like a Daniel Lynch or a Brady Singer, where like that conversation had kind of been there in their careers?
Yeah, I think it's more Waka and Lugo that bring that comfort to the clubhouse, where it's, you know, Brady Singer, it's no longer if you don't shove every fifth day, this team has no chance. It's a lot like Salvi with the emergence of Bobby Witt Jr. and the arrival of Hunter Renfro. It's all the pressure isn't on the shoulder of Salvi anymore, just like all the pressure isn't on the shoulders of Brady Singer anymore. But actually, I brought that up to Brady a few weeks ago on the show, and he said, Yeah, I don't really care for that line of thinking because I want to take the mound thinking, if I don't go out here and shove, we're not going to win. I like that pressure. I think we should all feel that way and build what you're talking about, build that internal competition amongst this rotation where you're trying to go out there and one-up the guy that you saw the day before. So I love that attitude from Brady Singer. But I don't think the emergence of Cole Reagans, and keep in mind it's only a dozen starts in the big leagues. Cole Reagans, when he lays his head down at night, there's no way he knows that he's the truth or that he's going to be able to duplicate what he did last season in those 12 games. So I don't think the pressure that he feels or the pressure that Singer feels has been lessened by one or the other. If anything's been lessened, it's the pressure on Bobby. It's the pressure on Michael Massey and MJ Melendez and Vinny Pasquantino, the young sluggers that when they hit their head to the pillow, they're not sure. I mean, maybe outside of Bobby, they're not sure if they're 5-10 year big leaguers. For as confident as Vinny should feel with what he did last year, for as positive as MJ should feel about what he did in the second half of the season, now these guys are still trying to find their footing in the big leagues, trying to prove themselves that they do belong, that they can be a part of a championship team. So now when they're on that first baseline next Thursday for opening day, I think having Reagans and Singer makes you feel better, but having the depth with Waka, with Lugo, with the veterans in that bullpen, they can now stand there and feel, hey, if we score 4 runs, that should be enough. This pitching staff is going to make it hold up. The past few years, if Singer wasn't on the hill or if Reagans wasn't on the hill, these guys are showing up to the ballpark thinking, we got to push 7 runs across or we have no chance. So the consistency, the track record of Seth Lugo and Michael Waka, I think, have shifted the focus in that clubhouse of, hey, look at all these young bats. I think the focus is, look at all the stability we have in the rotation and in the bullpen, where the pitching to me is, if this team's going to succeed in 2024, the pitching is going to be the hallmark. We haven't been able to say that since Wade Davis left after 2016.
Vern, last one, when it comes to the AL Central, which is what you got to take care of first, who's your biggest threat and why?
Well, Minnesota, I still think, is the team to beat. They're still a pretty big fish out there in Jordan Montgomery. If he ends up in Cleveland, if he ends up in Minnesota, I think they further extend themselves as the class of this division. So I would still, if I was going to bet, I would still side with Minnesota. It's not confidently, you know, Cleveland's track record for pitching gives you confidence that they'll at least be in it. But again, the stability that I see in this Royals rotation, this Royals pitching staff, I'd be surprised if they finished lower than third, even with the young talent that Detroit has. I'm not sure about that pitching staff, not sure about that bullpen. So honestly, I would think that the Royals are the threat in the division. And the teams that have won consistently over the past half decade, Cleveland and Minnesota, continue to be the teams to watch, the teams that the Royals are gunning for.
From the 816, my wife is a chef at the Lee Summit 3rd Street Social. I've gotten a lot of free food from there. I'll see if I can get Vern a free meal. There you go, Vern. So you got something to look forward to when you're back in the metro area.
All right, shoot me that guy or that gal's number.
You got it, man. Hey, stay safe, and we'll listen to you tomorrow or on Thursday night for 3 hours, Vern. Appreciate you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet.
Josh Vern, your Royals insider here at 610 Sports Radio. A lot to dive into. If you missed that, download the Odyssey app. Go to the after hours. You'll see my ugly face. You can go then find the Josh Vern your interview, or you can also listen Thursday night from 6 until 9 with Josh Vern. Blake and I will be continuing our conversation of more fun stuff because it's spring. And we're all here to have a good time. I'm Dusty Leggett. That's Blake. This is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.